The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 497. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez. You're muted.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Mangioma.
So how do you go from having one of the best-selling games of last year to this mess?
Oh, no. You could have described a few games, so you may need to clarify that.
Oh, there's one. You know that Wizard game of last year?
That. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah that's
how
a good...
How did you go from making that year to making this mess this year?
Yeah. That was a good segue, because that's literally our first topic, man. We got to talk about WB, bro. Got to talk about WB, because it's, as Brian said, a mess right now. You know, so let's take it back, even though we've been talking about this all year, right? Basically, WB Games, they pretty much bet everything on the success of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. Obviously, the game bombed spectacularly, absolute train wreck of a game, among other things. And we reported on this, how they've lost like half their revenue, you know, that or whatever, because of this fucking game. And now it's getting to a point where they're considering or will actually license their games to other publishers because they need money. They need money, you know. So as you can see from the title of this episode, Suicide Squad kills WB Games, man. Shit is crazy right now. So let me get into it. I'm reading this off of IGN. Okay, Batman killed Batman, Justice League, Harry Potter, Looney Tunes, Game of Thrones. The list of IPs owned by Warner Brothers Discovery is massive, and an awful lot of it seems ripe for being turned into a video game. And most of them have been turned into a video game. If you're thinking WB's been a little slow to leverage that library, it sounds like the company's leadership agrees, and it's looking not just to make money for its own games, but to license out some of its biggest franchises to other game studios in the future. You wouldn't be doing that if things were going well, you know? Reading on here, today on the... This was published a couple of days ago. Today on the Warner Brothers Discovery Quarter 2 earnings call, CEO David Zaslav and President of Global Streaming and Games J.B. Perret, whatever, responded to a question about the quote-unquote strategic value of games to Warner Brothers given recent, quote, uneven performance. Yeah, because you lost a lot of fucking money. That's what that means. The company had just reported gaming revenue down 41% year over year due to underperformance of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League compared to Hogwarts Legacy's massive success last year. Does WB see games as a core portion of its portfolio? The answer seems to be yes. Zaslav and Perret explained that they want to grow the gaming business, especially in free-to-play space, which Perret says can help balance out some of the ups and downs of the cyclical console industry. That's part of why WB acquired Player First Games, developer of Multiversus, earlier this year. By the way, that game finally came out of beta. It was in fucking alpha or beta or whatever for the fucking longest. I wrote a preview of that fucking game like 2 years ago, you know, and it finally came out. Anyway, Zaslav followed up by noting that not only did WB want to keep leveraging its 11 studios, but that there's also a, quote, also a lot of interest among others in coming to take advantage of some of that IP for gaming, which we're looking at, and end quote. So yeah, it's like, hey, listen, we fucked up. We ain't making no money. We got to license shit out. Crazy.
Well, I mean, the thing about it, it's the same tactic that they're doing with their movies while they're pulling them off of the thing. See, the one thing about it, what's going on right now, at least in the movie sector, is that, you know, because they have their silly service, is that they're not making any direct revenue anymore because, you know, if you're not getting anybody in, and this is the same sort of thing. They're not making the money that they want to all make. So the next step is just, okay, you know, we license it, which means that somebody else pays them to make something, you know, based on one of their properties.
Yeah, pretty much. Shout out to Brett, who just joined us.
What up, guys?
How you doing? Yeah, we're just talking about WB Games now looking into licensing their games because they've lost so much money because of the bomb that was Suicide Squad.
Maybe they should look into making good games.
Yeah. Yeah, they've lost 41% of their revenue. Yeah, and remember, this is coming off of Hogwarts Legacy, which was a massive success last year. Then you come to this shit, you know?
I mean, they got greedy. That's what happens when you try and print money by taking advantage of predatory gaming practices.
Yeah, and there's other reasons why Suicide Squad failed, but you know, I don't think we need to get into that. But we know what it is. I want to read this last part just to kind of illustrate the point here. Warner Brothers Discovery reported revenue of $9.7 billion for the quarter, but an overall net loss of $10 billion, $9.1 billion of which was due to impairment charges. The company also reported subscription services, whatever, who cares? They lost $10 billion because of this fucking game.
Holy shit.
It's insane. Chris, what are your thoughts, man?
Well, I would say they're past the introspection point and it's time to just fucking throw out all this stuff. Like Rocksteady's going to shut down. Like, yeah, I guarantee it at this point. Like, this report is so bad. I can't even believe that what you just read.
Yeah.
$10 billion hole for this fucking one game.
One game.
So that's it. It's time to clean house. If they, I don't know. I don't think free to play is the way to go, but whatever. They need to clean house and you need to get some. Need to start up something that has some talent behind it, like real talent. Like, you need to restructure. You need to go back to your roots. You have way too much, of a certain DIE philosophy going on, and not enough talent. That needs to be flipped around.
Yeah, I think it needs to be DIE. Yeah, because fuck. Oh, man. I want to read this too. This also from IGN. This is just specifically talking about Suicide Squad kills WB Games. Warner Bros. Discovery reported today that its game revenue suffered a major drop this quarter from the same period last year, largely due to weak performance of Suicide Squad killed the Justice League. Games revenue under the WB Games division dropped 41% year over year, though Suicide Squad's struggles were the main culprit. It was admittedly up against stiff competition. Last year's comparable included strong sales of Hogwarts Legacy, which launched in February of 2023 and continued to do exceedingly well throughout the year that followed. It sold 22 million copies in 2023 alone and has since reached 24 million. How much did Suicide Squad sell in comparison?
Well, Tony, you have to understand, it was up against some stiff competition.
Yeah, it was stiff competition.
The stiff competition they were against?
Watching paint dry?
Yeah, like...
Was it Stray?
Yeah, if anyone could tell me what the stiff competition was, please let us know, because we'd love to know. Here's the thing. I'm gonna just to be fair, right? WB Games was not going to make as much money this year as it would have last year. Let's just say on the off chance, Suicide Squad was actually a hit, right? It wasn't going to make those Hogwarts numbers. So there was going to be a drop-off, but not to this fucking level, you know?
Well, but it's not just about drop-off, and it's not just about performance. It's about cost-to-profit ratio. And for some reason, and I don't know, somebody here might be able to put in their two cents on this, like, these games, whether it be because they're having to buy the rights or because the scale and scope of the game or because of the type of game, are exceedingly expensive to develop. Live service games are so expensive. And it seems like it shouldn't be that way because it seems like things like, you know, Fortnite and most of these games seem like, you know, it's one stage, 10 characters, fucking how expensive could it be? But they somehow managed to drop millions of dollars on these games.
Yeah. By the way,
okay, I got what came out at that time. So, Grand Blue Fantasy versus Fantasy Relink, which came on February 1st. Suicide Squad Killed the Justice League came out on the 2nd. Persona 3 Reloaded came out on the 2nd as well. Did that kill the Justice League?
The dump I took this morning came out on the Justice League.
Form Stars came out on the on the 6th. Helldivers came out on the 8th. I guess that would be the biggest thing, but they were not in direct competition with anybody at that point in time.
They weren't. That was a bunch of nonsense.
Tomb Raider Remastered came out on the 14th. This is February. Skull and Bones on the 16th. Mario versus Don. There's nothing in here that is that could be considered a strict competition. Final Fantasy Rebirth came out on February 29th. So that's a whole month that they had. So that's the only things that I could see that would be a direct conflict. But on the actual day, no. What's before January?
Nothing.
January Tekken 8, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, which also didn't do that well. Silent Hill, the 31st, a free game message. A free game came out on the 31st. So what is PAL World was on the 19th. What's this competition would they be talking about in these, months?
Go ahead. You're not taking
Last of Us Remastered on the 19th.
There it is. Yeah, go ahead, Brian. Brian first, and then Brett.
There's like one thing that you missed out, Manny, and I'm surprised that you missed this. Madam Web.
We're going against Madam Web.
Of course.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Obviously, more people were watching Madam Web on the 2nd than they were watching Justice League, playing Justice League.
I don't know if you know this, Manny, but the thing about quadruple A games is they tend to clear the calendar back and forward a month from their release window. So this is really quite common for quadruple A games and what they do in the gaming space.
Oh my God.
Ubisoft is very much right about their quadruple A titles.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, so here's a little bit of clarification for what I said. And the numbers are still bad regardless. So the $10 billion loss was for the company as a whole, right? And Justice League incurred a $200 million loss, which is a lot, you know? They're fucking up.
I like how they're putting it, like, in a world where we live in where if people don't make the profit expected, it's viewed as a failure, yet somehow they're trying to spin it as it's only a $200 million loss. Like, it's not, you know, like, that was the company as a whole sucked. So, you know, this is only a part of that. Like, it's, if you can't even recoup the amount of cost that it costs to make, I think that's pretty conclusively a fail, right?
Yeah. Oh, it failed. I don't think anyone's denying that.
I was trying to find what the actual money's were the dollar value was that they lost, but I don't see the 200 anywhere, because the only thing that I saw was,
yo, Carlos, click there. on the second story that is right there,
the second one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In the show notes.
I clicked on the first one.
Yeah, click on the second one. That's where it has the 200 million for that game specifically.
Yeah, because I saw 200 billion for game service that they try to, you know, count as a loss. I just didn't know where that was counting in that Suicide Squad game.
You see it now? And the headline is, okay, they're cool. And this was May 9th. Isn't that today's date? It is today's, or tomorrow's date, kind of.
August 9th, time is tomorrow, weird. Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. So the $200 million was reported on May 9th. But regardless, that's bad. You know? You see it, Carlos?
That's not good. I mean, nice boy, what did they expect? They're going after, they're going, and here's the thing, I keep saying this every freaking time. They keep going. When you go for money, that's when you lose the most money. Because there was really no inspiration in this game. It's just, let's use the Suicide Squad and make it a games as a service and try to be competitive with Fortnite. And that's just the recipe for disaster. Either way, either if you're a competent studio or a shitty studio, if you're giving that mission statement to your developers, you're not going to succeed that much.
Yeah, That's the thing about Suicide Squad. Even if you remove all the woke shit, that was a problem with it. What was it? The game, right? It was basically a half-assed Destiny ripoff. You know, weak fucking gameplay, boring fucking missions, repetitive ass missions. It was just, even without all that stuff, it was just a bad game that came like 5 years too fucking late. Maybe it would have done better, like when these games were actually like, you know, people liked them. But even Destiny's fucking failing, you know, as we've seen and we're going to talk about, you know. But either way, Carlos, I agree. This game was doomed, you know, from the beginning.
Dude.
Remember, because, you know, when they first announced it, like Rocksteady Studios, Suicide Squad, let's fucking go. But that was just a CG trailer. Soon as they said live service game, womp, 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 you know, you know, like play that sound effect. Everybody was like, fuck that shit. You know,
because everyone was expecting an Arkham type game.
Yeah.
And no one got an Arkham type game.
Yeah.
and even if it's made by the Arkham guys, the same guys probably can't even make a great Arkham game that anymore.
They probably can't.
Those guys aren't there.
Most of them are not there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And as we always say, this is what happens. And we've seen this time and time again. This happens when you take a studio that is known for making great single player games and forcing them to make multiplayer shit. It never works. Anthem, you know, like fucking the Ninja Theory game that bombed. Fucking Cliffy B tried this shit twice.
Lawbreaker.
Yeah, Lawbreakers.
He did it twice. Remember Visceral? They made them make Battlefield Hardline.
That failed. You know, it's like we've seen this. Oh, fucking Crystal Dynamics, the big one. Fucking Avengers. You know,
man.
It's an epidemic in the game industry. Everyone's trying to chase the fucking golden pot at the end of the rainbow. That shit, the fucking pot is gone.
Fucking leprechaun chilling.
The gold pot at the end of the rainbow is that once the rainbow disappears, so does the pot, and that's exactly what happened. They're still trying to catch it, but it's not there anymore, man.
It's gone. Even in my review,
and it's been a colossal waste of money for them.
Obviously, not only a colossal waste of money, but a colossal loss of money. You know.
Yeah, well, because it's like they spent all this effort on this pretty much a game that they can update, you know, over time, but there was nothing there, and no matter how many, you know, people they had, you know, how many people they threw at it, it still was a flawed idea. It should have never went down that line.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, at the leadership of that time, thought that was the best route to go.
Down.
To take the Batman games and bring them into that space, which wasn't the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. Now they're going to be forced to license their shit because they lost so much money.
I mean, licensing is one way to generate money for all your IPs, right? You can put all your IPs on the market and then have other people pay you to make games. That's how it ran for years. So that it was surprising in general that WB decided to invest and buy studios, you know?
Yeah.
When they bought Williams and all those companies, you know, bought those studios. You know?
Shout out to Fergus Mills. You already know. And Blitz and Foolish Pupil and Barry Byrne, you already know how we get down, man. All right, so that's it. Suicide. Again, I've said this before, say it again. We've said it in the show too. Rocksteady Studios is probably going to be shut down before long. With all these studios being shut down this year, don't be surprised when it happens to them too, especially when they're responsible. Here's the thing. I don't want to say they're responsible. I mean, they made the game, obviously, but that shit was mandated to them. You think they decided, oh, let's make this game. It was WB going, yo, you need to make a Fortnite, you know? There you go.
Those keywords. It's those keywords that are in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And you get the upper leadership saying, it's like, oh, why don't we have a live service game? Well, you know, we have Batman. You know, we have all these characters for WB Batman characters. why can't we just do that, you know, as a Destiny or a Fortnite, as a live service game? You know, that'll make a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, how do we get into that market? Without using something that people already want, like, right? Suicide Squad was a big thing. They had the gun movie and all that stuff, sort of resurgence of that whole thing, you know, with all those characters. But, you know, I this is not the way to go about this.
Most of the people that went to San Francisco to find gold didn't find shit,
you know.
And that's just how it is for the video game industry. One of them might get lucky, but most of them fail. I mean, Tony talked about, remember we talked about them, I think this past weekend, the whole first person Halo killer phase.
Yep,
phase
I remember. Me. Yep, everybody most remembers that. Yep.
And but you know, back then, it wasn't as big of a deal because making games didn't cost that much, as much as it does now. Now it's $200 million losses, yeah. Which, you know, ends fucking companies.
Yeah. Like I said, the irony was the one game that killed Halo wasn't even trying to kill Halo. They just did it naturally. Call of Duty Modern Warfare, obviously. And then everybody tried to be that, and they're still trying to be that, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
It's crazy. All right, man. Let's move on here. Some more fun stuff. Sony's financial report, people. So I'm going to hand this over to Chris so he can tell us all the numbers. All right. Well, let's go. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this is directly from Sony's presentation for the Q1 2024 report. Okay. So overall, Sony is doing pretty well. The overall company sales were up and everything, but I'm not going to go into each segment and all that stuff. It was attributed to mainly PlayStation Music and they renamed electronics to entertainment technology and services, which I don't know. Yeah, that's weird. I was like, yeah. Where's electronics? That's electronics now. It's weird. Anyway, so that's what they attributed the growth to. Sony Pictures was up a little bit. I guess the imaging and the rest are kind of down, but whatever. We only care about PlayStation. You know. So I'll go over that.
Hold on, Chris. I'm sorry. I just said that black dude from that movie. I'm electronics now. You know.
Yeah. Right. Like, wait.
All right. Continue.
So they reported an increase in sales. So $6.31 billion. I know it's. I have everything is in yen here, but I had converted it myself on paper on the side. So that 864.9 growth right here year over year, that's roughly 6.31 billion. So that's 12% over last year, which was 5.63 billion roughly from Q1 2023. So they attributed that mainly to impact of foreign exchange rates, which was huge. I guess they had a gain of $624 million due to foreign exchange. And then they said increase in sales of first-party game software titles and then increase in sales of PSN, which is interesting because even though they're – I'll get to this later, but the short – they're having PS5 is slowing down. It slowed down 27% since last year. So they sold 2.4 million units this quarter, which is 27% down. I think it was 3.4. For last quarter, I don't have it in front of me, but it's down 27%. So even with that, they had PS Plus subscriptions jump from I think 106 million to 118 million, which I'm attributing to PC, them forcing PC players to have a PlayStation account to play certain titles. So that may be it. I don't have any other info on that. That's the only thing I can assume is that the mandate to have PSN, even when you're playing the PC version of a Sony title, is probably driving that increase. So overall, their sales are up. The income is up for that, even with the hardware sales decreasing. Now, it doesn't seem to be impacting them at all. The lack of hardware, Sony's already kind of spreading, you know, they, as Carlos said, they took the toe dip. Now they put their whole foot in to PC. So they're fine. And if they can get PSN subscriptions off of PC, then they're really not worried about PS5 sales too much dipping. As long as it doesn't dip too far, they're not really concerned with it. And this report doesn't look like it's pretty concerning. So, I mean, let's see what other notes. I had some more notes here.
Notes.
Their forecast, I think they're forecasting an increase in 3% for games and network services for the fiscal year. And they're revising it up. I guess they really think that PSN and software sales are going to keep, not even just keep them stable, but increase for the foreseeable future. And that's odd because this is a year where they announced they have no new first-party titles happening. So I was like, that's pretty interesting. They usually, I would assume they wouldn't even have revised up. I would assume they were just like, okay, we're keeping the forecast. No, they revised it up. So, you know, I don't know what they know. I'm not sure if they're going to launch more stuff on PC. And then, by the way, you need PSN to enjoy it. But it seems that they seem pretty confident. So the main, I guess the main takeaways is that they got lucky with their foreign exchange impact, like the volatility of the currency over there worked out in their favor. They have a positive outlook for software and services. I can only assume it's shifting more stuff to PC. And they said they had an increase in some of their first party software sales, so that's, you know, good. That's good for them. So no bad news for Sony so far in this report. I didn't have time because I just read this a couple hours ago, and I would like to chart this out, but I usually chart out the fiscal year, but this is a good quarter for them. Like, honestly, I don't see any negatives in here. The only negative is the hardware sales, and I don't know how you stem that, because like I said, they have no new first party IP titles. So there's no reason for people to get into PlayStation, and if they're going to leverage PC more, that's even more of a reason not to get into PlayStation if there's a certain title you want and it's coming to PC. So yeah, that may hurt them in the long run. I'm not sure how you stem that, considering they're leaning into that more. So not sure what the hardware strategy is going forward.
What do you think? And again, you know, because obviously this report is not going to tell you that. This would be just, what are your thoughts on this? What if they could offset some of these hardware losses by, you know, releasing a PS5 Pro?
Well, you kind of get a honeymoon period. You get the tech bros and those guys buying into it immediately. You get so you get a surge, right? But that surge wouldn't last without the software to back it up.
Yeah.
Like if you just said PS5 Pro, right? Sales are going to boost that one quarter. Let's say it's next quarter. Boom, goes up. Q3 goes right back down. Why? Because there's nothing new to play. So people who really would be like moderate gamers or normie gamers and stuff, that maybe if times were better or they had, or there was something they really wanted to get into, that would be the experience would be better on PS5 Pro, would get it. But now, like, okay, it's just new hardware. And what am I going to play on it? I'm going to play Spider-Man 2 and the same stuff I'm playing right now. Or you can play Ghost of Tsushima on PC. So really, I think there'd just be a bump, and that bump will just be the whales, right? And then it'll come back down.
Yeah, that's a good point. But also, do you attribute some of that to, you know, we said this for Xbox console sales going down just because we're on the latter half of the generation?
I don't quite think so. I think there's always, like they said it's in its twilight years, right? But they're kind of making it worse with this kind of gap in software releases. They made it worse. Usually, I mean, look at the Switch. Look how old it is, right? And even though they're having a small decrease in hardware sales, it's not like this drastic. Because they're still releasing, Nintendo is still releasing software, they're still licensing stuff, so there's still a reason for people to play, still a reason for people to buy the system. When you have this sharp drop-off, especially for Xbox, like, you don't have anything for people to play, so they're just not going to buy into the system. And Sony leaned into it and said, yeah, we don't have nothing 2024, don't worry about it. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, so that's crazy to me. And Microsoft has tried and failed to get something off the ground, and this year doesn't look very good for them. So you have the effect of like, okay, the systems are old, right? Not out of all of them, the Switch is the oldest. It's having a decrease, but this decline is gradual because it's being bolstered by software releases. It probably never surge again. If they had released a Switch 2 or whatever, probably surge, but they didn't. If Sony releases a PS5 Pro, you'll have a brief surge in whatever quarter they do it, and it will go right back down.
Yeah.
And Xbox has no hope. You could release the Xbox Series XX, Triple X, whatever, the porn edition. It's not going to fucking help. It's not going to help.
Oh, man. Yeah, but interesting stuff. And then, again, because I know you only saw this a couple hours ago, but some people saw that, like, if you kind of look at the numbers altogether, like, that 80% of game sales were digital. It's very interesting.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's huge, but that's where things were going.
Yep.
And maybe, pouring out for Game Informer. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Right. Then,
you know, so GameStop's hurting. It's like a lot. And as more and more younger people get into gaming, right? The games are right there. You have Steam, you have PlayStation Store, whatever, eShop. They're not going out to GameStop or Walmart or whatever and buying games. Even if you go to Walmart or Target and look at the game section, it ain't even like it used to be. It's shrinking.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah. Generally speaking, people just mostly get their games digital, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting
and
stuff.
And not for nothing, the PS5 sounds horrible when I play this game. I prefer. I actually rebought Demon's Souls because I couldn't fucking take it.
Yeah, this shit really is so loud. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? Yeah, we've replaced like loud fan noises with like loud disc drive, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what the fuck did they do with this disc drive? PS4 didn't sound like that. PS3 didn't sound like that. PS5, it sounds horrible.
Yeah. it tells me that the disc drive was like an afterthought. Like, oh, I guess we got to have this thing in there. You know, just put it on. Just, you know, put some bubble gum on it. It'll work, you know? Crazy, but yeah, man, good stuff there. A bunch of companies released their financial reports. I don't know if Nintendo had one. I read something about how they're like 1 million units away from outselling the PS2 in America, which is pretty big.
That's,
you know,
nuts. Yeah, I never thought that would happen
in America, though, not in the world, but in America, you know, but which is still fucking insane, you know. Yeah. Good stuff. All right, moving on here, more Sony news. Okay, so this was a rumor that came out last year, a report that came out, not last year, last week, excuse me, about how Sony was going to, you know, basically fold in Bungie. Well, not a rumor or report anymore. Now it's actually a fact.
We talked about it before that, the rumors. And you and I agreed because when we heard Herman Holtz was co-CEO, I was like, Bungie's done. Yeah. They're just going to fold it in. Like, that news was so horrible. It was like you could read the tea leaves were like slapping you in the face. They weren't even like, oh, let me quickly read them. No, they're just like, nah, they're fucked. Okay. And now it's happened. Shit. That poor one out for Bungie, too. Shit. That sucks. That hurts.
Yeah. So I want to read this. This is from Insider Gaming here. In a new briefing video, Sony President, COO, and CFO Hirotoki Totoki offered clarifying statements about its Bungie restructuring plans. Totoki said that the purpose of the restructure is, quote, cost restructure. Oh, I thought that was their word. Cost restructure and portfolio optimization, end quote. They also said that Bungie's back office functions should be integrated with the studio of SEI, Sony Interactive Entertainment. Totoki further mentioned plans to concentrate Bungie's headcount and reassurances on Destiny 2 and live service title Marathon. So remember, I asked a question about Marathon, so it seems they're not going to abandon it at the moment. They also said that there would be constant resources there. However, other title development will instead move to PlayStation Studios. Whoa, shit. So basically, if Bungie was working on something, it's like PlayStation Studios is going to handle it now. Rounding out the briefing's mention of Bungie, Totoki broadly said that the organizational structure will also be changed. There are plans to optimize the overall studio structure. The briefing follows Bungie's extensive layoffs and restructuring, which we talked about on Throwdown, which Bungie announced last week. It affected over 200 employees, 220 employees at Bungie, including about 17% of its workforce. Bungie also moved some of its employees to Sony as part of the restructuring. Bungie CEO Pete Parsons cited rising costs of development and industry shifts, as well as enduring economic conditions for why all that shit happened. They also called it a difficult and painful day. Whatever. Fuck.
Yeah, right. Did he account for all the new cars he bought?
Yeah, he didn't talk about that.
Is that the rising cost of development?
Yeah. It really is. So, yeah, there you go. Bungie is just being swallowed up, you know?
Man.
I wanted to ask you guys this. Do you think, because a lot, this is sentiment I've seen on Twitter, do you think Sony made a mistake by purchasing Bungie? Like, because some people feel that they only bought them as like a counter to the Activision Blizzard acquisition. I personally think that's stupid. I don't think that's what happened, but I still think the question of was this a smart move? I think that's still a valid question. Here's the thing: hindsight is 20/20. Obviously, it looks like it was a bad move. But again, going back to what we're talking about, chasing that fucking drunken leprechaun, you know, they wanted that gold at the end of the fucking rainbow, you know, or the pride flag. Anyway, it's like they wanted that fucking gold, you know, like we want our live service games. This company makes live service games. They're for sale. Let's buy them, you know?
Yeah. And little did they know they bought a lemon.
Yeah,
because it's been said before that even before this happened, that Bungie was in dire straits at some point.
And we're not talking about the band dire straits, you know.
Yeah, you know, they were already bleeding. So that's why I'm thinking that's why they were able to sell.
Yeah,
I'm just like, all right, we'll just take that. And then it's like, okay, so now Sony or PlayStation has to go in and start sweeping up the floors for all the mess of the previous Bungie leadership.
Yeah.
You know, they were saying there were issues with Bungie all the way back at Destiny.
Yeah, that's true.
The original Destiny.
Destiny itself was like a troubled development game, you know?
It was a troubled development. The reason why it came through is because it just made so much money that it was just like, all right, you know, despite the shit going all, you know, hitting the fan, we made so much money, we can continue to do this.
Yeah.
And then, of course, again, it's very interesting that whoever is a leader at their studio, definitely, like, something's wrong with them because, like,
you mean, isn't they it sold Jeff to, Parsons they, guy, the they fucking
sold,
asshole?
They sold to Act, yeah. They first, they sold to Activision. Like, they were on their own, and then they sold themselves to Activision, right? They got, you know, well, I think
they divested from Microsoft. And then they were like, "Oh, because we want to be independent." And then they sold themselves to Activision. Yeah,
I think the reasoning for those situations was that because they probably killed themselves so badly with that situation, right? Well, whatever they were making Destiny 1, they probably were in the same position as they were currently with Sony.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy, man. So, right there, you go. Unless anybody else has any more thoughts on the Bungie situation, but yeah. All right, moving on here. Another speaking about closings. This one's pretty brutal. So if you guys may know, Ready at Dawn, they made some really good games. We actually talk about one of their games particularly a lot here, you know. But you know, they made 1886, but you know, games that people could actually really, games that you cannot argue are definitively great. They're God of War games on PSP. Fantastic, you know,
And the Jack and Daxter game.
Yeah. So anyway, Meta bought them back in 2020. We talked about that back then. We weren't happy about that. And now 4 years later, they're done. Ready at Dawn is being closed down.
We said this when they were purchased. It was like, you know, you can't deny that somebody, you know, they did a really good VR game, you know, that Meta wanted to keep on.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think and on one end, it's like, okay, now you have that consistent amount of money that, you know, there to help you out. But then you have this situation where they literally just cut their losses and just like, all right, we want out of you, done.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. Has by the way, has the president of you know, what's his face, said anything or any of the
if they have, I have no idea.
I can't remember the his name, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, the director of the Order 1886, but you know, like, has he said anything, or has any of the formerly, you know, that big buff guy that they had used to have? Remember him?
I don't remember.
There was
him.
This one, like, he's the other director over there, Ready at Dawn. He's this big bald buff dude. Hmm. Anyway, like, those two guys were like the heads of that studio. So it's like, have they said anything?
I don't know.
And this situation also makes me fear for Camouflage Games. You know, the guys who did Republic, former Metal Gear people there, you know, Ryan Payton. They're working on that new Arkham game, you know, the Arkham VR game that they're doing. You know, how's that going to do? And to be honest, like, they could just cut their losses on it and just like, all right, well, now we have this. So I don't know. To be honest, like, on the one end, it's good, great, because it continues to keep people and working. But yeah, what happens when that shit dries up and they start seeing their, you know, they're not making as much as they want. They start chopping names. So I'm making a educated guess here, but I think Camouflage Games is going to be the next one.
Yeah.
To go after they release that Arkham game, that VR game that's coming out for Meta. I think they're gonna get cut too.
Yeah, we'll see. But there you go. Ready at Dawn is ready at dusk at this point. They're done, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sony should have picked those guys up.
Yeah, they should have.
Even though the Order 1886 didn't do amazingly, they should have picked them up, because their studio, they were the pioneers of physically based, like, you know, materials. So all the shit that they did, like all the skin stuff that they did for Order 1886, a lot of those people went over to Naughty Dog for the new Uncharted game, and they worked on those games, and they worked on The Last of Us, you know. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. All right, man. There you go. And the last story of the night, threw this in here because we got to laugh. Borderlands movie. The reviews are out.
Oh, man.
And it's getting eviscerated. There was one point where the movie had 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. Last time I checked, it was up to 4%, because that dumb Grace woman that loves every one of these stupid movies liked it. But yeah, movie's an unmitigated disaster. And is anyone surprised? Although,
who could have seen this coming?
It's like you get, like, okay, the first thing they did was they decided for some reason, like, some of their major stars, they just got really old people to play them, which is weird. I don't know.
Because they're safe bets.
Yeah.
They're safe bets, proven famous people. Like, it's just everything about this was like, I mean, even beyond, like, you know, how this thing looks, like, who could have anticipated that making a soulless cash grab off of a you know, beloved franchise that you have zero history with could have turned out so badly? It's like everything about this was built out of failure. How would it have been anything other than abject failure?
Yeah, exactly. Rich, I know you're very upset by this news, man. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I'm not upset by the news. I'm absolutely was very much entertained when I looked at the scores that this movie was getting today. I believe it's a 0% critic score, which I think is the correct score for the movie. And again, you know, like you guys already said, for starters, the movie is PG-13. This is the movie that possibly should have been rated R, given, you know, all the jokes, the humor, the gory, the violence. Yeah, it's not rated R. I don't like the cast. And of course, one of the most important villains in that series, Handsome Jack, isn't even in the movie. So wow. How the hell can you make a Borderlands movie where you don't have one of the main villains? I understand this villain died, but I just don't get that. So it deserves to be criticized the way it is.
Yeah, and my next question to you, Rich, is how long until this movie ends up on a streaming service? Because it seems to me in about 2 weeks it's going to happen.
I think that is an outstanding prediction. I will raise your prediction by an additional week, and I'll say 3 weeks.
There you go. I feel right enough.
Yeah, because for some reason, the studio will look like, oh, well, it didn't do well the first week. We still got a chance. Let's try to be a little bit more hopeful for the second week. But no, the movie's going to bomb. And of course, in a couple of weeks, you have a couple other movies dropping, such as Beetlejuice, which I'm sure that is going to be massive at the box office. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it seems to me like this movie should have just gone straight to streaming, not even come out in the theaters.
I feel like it should have, yeah.
Yeah, Manny, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Well, I mean, to be honest, like judging by that initial trailer and that stupid reveal that they had, it looked dumb.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, it didn't look like a good film. Like, Kevin Hart? Who gives a shit about Kevin Hart? I'm sorry, man. And then, like, half the roles are like, you know, I guess, it, you know, it's Eli Roth, and he pretty much got all the roles that he wanted to fill. And, you know, but you get all these, I'm going to say it, all these old actors supposedly playing these sort of young, vital characters. It's like, I don't know. I think it was a mistake to even when they announced the Borderlands movie was being made, I was like, you know what? This ain't going to work. If anything, they should have went with a cheaper option. You know, did a what is it? You know, like an animated thing, so you can keep the styling of the show. You know, maybe if you want to hire Jamie Lee Curtis and all those people to be in that, but it really shouldn't have been a movie.
Yeah, I want to read some of this stuff here. Shout out to PC Gamer. They kind of rounded up some of the best reviews. Perhaps the choicest Borderlands SmackDown was delivered by Rolling Stone, where reviewer David Fear called it. This is great. An insult to gamers, movie lovers, and carbon-based life forms. That's great. Let's see this other one. Sort of the same dude. You seriously wonder if the sole purpose of Borderlands is to make every other video game adaptation look 1,000 times better in comparison. It is, in no uncertain terms, a horrendous waste of time, talent, and pixels. Not even the pleasure of seeing Blanchett twirling pistols and kicking ass can salvage this. That sounds like a little shilly there. By the way, I just randomly ran into this on Twitter right now. One of the guys, this dude I follow, and I follow him back, he just tweeted us out, please do not waste your money on this. It was so fucking bad, I don't even want to play games anymore. Jesus fucking Christ. Wow. That's something, man. That is something, you know. And Chris, you know what? You just posted that now. Do we have? We could talk about that too. We got to talk about Yakuza, bro.
Uh oh.
So
do we have to?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Brian. And admittedly, I didn't look too deeply into this, but when I read this, I'm like, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. Amazon's Like a Dragon Yakuza TV show cast revealed that they have never played the games because they wanted to do their own version.
Yeah,
that bodes well. I know some people are like hoping, but the showrunners, maybe they know the games, you know?
You know, I'm going to say this, like, I understand that, but who are you going for when you're making this movie, this show? You could have just called it Yakuza, right? Or you could have just, you know, why does it need the like a dragon in there? You're obviously wanting to catch that, catch the fan base. People are used to seeing their favorite characters done, you know, in a certain way. Even Henry Cavill knew this. He knew that people going into that Witcher show are going to be thinking about the guy who is in the game. So he based his performance on the guy who was in the game, of which he was a fan of, and he read the books. I would argue, yes, you can make this show without you know, knowing, you know, without knowing about the thing, but I think you also miss out on the trying to attract the fans of those things. You know what I mean? Like, you look at a lot of the Fallout show, right? Granted, some of the characters are not, there are characters that sort of appear in the original thing, and they seem right. So what's with this? I don't know.
Well, again, like you said, they want the name recognition. That's what it is. Because, my thing is, like, if you want to do your own thing, do your own thing. You don't need to attach it to something else. But we see this type of stuff all the time. Like, and again, this hasn't been like fully like vetted, but it's pretty close. The Resident Evil, was it a show or a movie that was on Netflix, a streaming one, right? The one with with Broyles, right? Apparently that one started off as a different thing altogether. Then they kind of just slapped the Resident Evil name on it. And people were like, oh yeah, you could kind of tell, you know? So it's like, if you're going to do your own thing, just do your own thing, you know? Let it live up to its own merits. Listen, say what you will about that fucking shit show, Rebel Moon, at least it's its own thing. You know, do that. But then you have this shit.
Well, it was supposed to be a Star Wars movie. So
yeah, it was. Yeah.
It wasn't its own thing.
Yeah. But it's something. But just latching onto a name that exists, it's scummy, you know? Brian, get in here, man. What do you think of this Yakuza insanity?
My first thought is, I'm guessing these executives have never heard the definition of insanity.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, wasn't the Halo show just canceled like 4 months ago?
Yep.
And
yeah, but these people fail upward.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if some of them didn't jump over here to Amazon.
Yeah. No, but to your point, Brian, it's like that show is like, fuck the games. You know, we're going to do our own thing. We're not learning our lessons here, you know?
Look at Lord of the Rings. They said, fuck the books. It's just a pattern.
But the recent Marvel movies, you literally had an entire panel of these people going, yeah, we were told not to read the comics.
Yeah.
That's not a rumor. These are the actual people working in these movies saying this. They were explicitly told, do not read the comics.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, I've that's something.
That. But
But then yet you see the movie that sort of embraces all of that, right?
People who read the comics, you know?
Or at least somebody who's working on it who understands that sort of stuff and the right amount of way to do it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like if you're going to be invoking this familiar thing, there has to be a fair amount of connection to whatever was done there, whether it be, you know, maybe the main actor. Yeah. You know, might know a little bit more, have a little bit more insight, you know, or something like that. So it's just like, okay, we're just going blank on this one. I don't know, man. It's just seems a little odd that you would just want to just throw everything out the window and just use the name just for name's sake.
That's all it is. So I'll say
it's
now,
a skin suit.
It is a skin. Oh, it is, yeah, it is mm-hmm. a skin suit. Yep. No, you're right.
Yeah. It's just such a big waste opportunity. Because again, the Yakuza game, well, I've only played Zero, but from what I played, it's like, mm-hmm. this is an experience, you know, like there's nothing I can think of that's like Yakuza. And then to not even play any of them, to make a TV show about it, like, I mean, it might as well just, again, as Tony said, might as well just not be called Yakuza at that point, because if there's nothing to do with it, then what's the point, you know? If all you're going to do is just YouTube Yakuza funny clips and then say, okay, let's do that in a show because that's what Yakuza's like. And then it's like, no, you miss out. Like, that's not the point. Like, you literally miss out on the whole idea of the show. You, like, again, it's a skin suit at that point and it's pointless. And, well, again, if Amazon wanted to throw away the money like that, that's fine. As with the Halo show, I don't have to watch it. I just sit and laugh at the memes. So,
yeah.
Thank you for the free memes.
It's insane, man. And think about it. Like, any Yakuza game would make an awesome season of television, you know?
Yep.
Like, they have so many, all these stories going on, like, so intricate and shit, like, just revelations. Brian, you play Yakuza 0. That game is a perfect example why people love the franchise. Like,
it has everything. It has action, it has comedy, it has drama, it has mystery. I don't think it has sci-fi elements. I don't remember, but it has so many things going for it, and you can have a blast with that. Again, really good for some sort of like long-running series, because you can have different directors that focus on different themes, and hence you can tackle those types of side stories. You know, like the one where Kiryu decides to join a cult, Sorry, that was Majima. Sorry.
Yeah, Majima, yeah.
He joins a cult. And it's like, you can have that as like an episode, and you can have the comedy side of it, you can have the serious side of it, you know, you can have that, you know. And then like the random gambling stuff, the weird mini games, so many things you can have in that show. And then that's beside the actual main plot line, which is, oh my gosh, the plot line has so many twists and turns, and it's just like, you don't know who to trust. It's, you know, like when someone says, oh yeah, it's something blah, 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 you don't know who to trust. That's literally Yakuza. Like, you don't know who to trust because everyone kind of has their own motive, and it's perfect for a TV show. But no, they're going to just ignore that and then just probably do the funny memes and that's it. And yeah,
if
that's
the whole thing. If you even get that, if you even get that, you know?
It'll be surface level. Again, just like the Borderlands film. They'll just look at like the funny things that people, well, they'll find the things they think people will like, and then they put that in the film. So hence why, again, going back to Borderlands, hence why Tiny Tina is in the film, because ever since number two, Tiny Tina was really popular. I can understand, since she's very much not like the rest of the cast, but when people outside see that, they say, oh, people like Tiny Tina, that's a thing, let's put her in the film. So they only see it as like a surface level thing, and then they don't understand why things are liked, and then it misses out. It's nonsense. But as I said, I will enjoy the memes.
Yeah, there you go. What's up?
Just real quick. I don't know about this show, man. Not because of the. I don't know. I'm not too stuck on the reasons that you guys are, but it's just a really really Japanese type game with Japanese comedy.
Yeah,
you know, Japanese, you know, storytelling. And I'm guessing this show is making it more for a Western audience. So that's the part that worries me the most. It's like trying to get a Western studio trying to, you know, translate this into, you know, I guess they're gonna do this in English, I'm guessing. Which,
yeah, I don't
in
know.
Itself sounds like a bad idea, but you know, so subs over dubs, I guess, for me.
Yeah, no, that's a concern too. You know, yeah. All right. I didn't have this in the show notes, but we could talk about it real quick. Thank you, Jay Shep. He goes, don't forget the director of Callisto Protocol called out the publisher saying it failed that the game failed because they were forced to release it too early. Yeah, I saw that making around. I call BS on that. The game could have came out later. It still would have been bad. You know, it was just not a good game. Like, you would have to fundamentally change it for it to be good, and that couldn't have happened in like 2 or 3 months or whatever, you know. So I call BS on that. It's a bad game, which is sad because I wanted it to be good, you know. Go ahead, yeah. Rich.
I just want to make a comment. You know, every time you bring up this Callisto Protocol game, I cannot forget how much Adam kept talking to me and Carlos about how much this game wanted him to rip all of his hair out. So I just want to make a comment.
Yeah,
very frustrating. Yeah. At times, so I totally understand that.
Yeah, no, well, you know, Adam was on Throwdown during that, and he said the game made him rage quit, you know?
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, I looked up the publisher. I was like, who the hell published this game? And it's a publisher called Krafton, which is a South Korean publisher.
Interesting.
It was supposed to be connected to the Player Krafton, Unknown Battleground universe. But then they changed it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Chris, you going to say something?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, here it is. Glenn Schofield said he wanted 3.5 more months. The game wouldn't have been better, bro. Like, the only way... No, because the story wasn't even that good to begin with. You know, and, like, maybe... Because there was an instance where you fought the same boss guy 3 times. And I don't mean, like, you know, back-to-back. I'm talking about, like, you know... It was the same exact like boss type, you know, just in different areas. But it was like, but within the span of like 2 hours, I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? You know, it's like, oh, the places kept getting smaller and smaller. That was it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's creative, you know, but you still took out the boss the exact same way. It was just a bad game. Not well designed. I don't think 3 months could have saved it. So, yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I have to make a comment. I know why he said that he wanted it to release it in 3 months, because if I recall correctly, This came out in December, and the next month after that was Dead Space Remake. So that was the one thing that we did talk about. And I remember talking with a few people about, you know, why is this game coming out so close to that? And then obviously Dead Space Remake, that did very well. So, yeah, that's probably why he's saying now, we needed to release this at a later time.
So there you go. And of course, Carlos, they also blame your favorite thing.
COVID?
Of course. Of course. Oh man, the oldest excuse in the book for the last 3 years. All right, man. That's it for stories. So let's fill out some time here with what we've been playing lately. Brett, I'll start with you, man. What have you been playing lately?
I've just still been playing the Elden Ring and its DLC, going through the second character with the girlfriend. Pretty much it.
Yeah, still as good as ever.
Yeah, I mean, I've every time I've played Elden Ring, I've played through it multiple times, and this is kind of no exception. I went through and I made a strength lead build, and now I'm going through and doing a faith pyromancer build. It's fun.
There you go. Carlos, are you still playing Elden Ring?
Yeah, been still playing Elden Ring, just going through. I went through New Game Plus, so I, you know, had to go through all of Elden Ring again. So I pretty much got to, you know, I burned the Elden Tree, and I'm pretty much at the final boss for that. And I've also caught up with all of the bosses from the DLC as well. But yeah, it's fun. A little upset that they nerfed the Impenetrable Thorns spell. That shit was cheese. Hmm. So yeah, but other than that, pretty fun. Leveling up my character more, helping out people. I like, you know, that's one of the fun parts about the game. It's like you go to the boss's door and put your symbol on and, you know, trying to help folks get through the game. It's always fun.
Yeah. Hey, Brett, I got a question here for you from Jay Shep. Have you ever played Fallout London?
No, I haven't. That's the... Didn't that just come out not too long ago?
Maybe that's why he's asking?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mod, too, so...
Yeah. Well, there you go. He has not. Fun fact, Barry Burns says, fun fact... Dextero gave Callisto Protocol 100 and Elden Ring a 90. Well, Dextero, you know, they're not really reputable. And yes, yeah, Brett, it was a mod for PC. So there you go. Chris, what have you been playing lately?
Oh, though running around Elden Ring trying to get all the secrets, I was recently hunting for all the extra talismans that were in the DLC. I think I found all of them. So I'm just, I'll probably start, Journey 3 or whatever, New Game Plus, whatever. I'll probably start another one. I tried out a little bit of, there was a free demo of that, Five Nights at Freddy's, like, kart racing game. But, man, it is not optimized. Like, my Steam Deck got super hot. The fans were going and shit. Like, started draining my battery. I was like, okay, I'm good. Playing this anymore. They gotta fix that. But yeah, that's the only other thing I tried out. It's straight up, it's just Mario Kart with Five Nights at Freddy's. It has some interesting mechanics, but it's the same thing. Yeah, so that's it.
All right, Brian, have you been playing anything lately?
I have not been playing anything. I've just been watching anime. So yeah.
Yeah, Carlos, you could jump in and ask him what he's been watching. I know you want to ask, or maybe he doesn't. Oh, never mind. Carlos doesn't care. All right. Brian said he's been watching anime, and I expect you to jump in. What you watching?
Oh shit! Let's do the guessing game, Brian. Is this a newish anime, old or in between?
It's newish.
Frieren.
No, but that's next.
Oh damn! Almost got it.
Pluto.
He already saw that.
Watch it again.
Newish. Newish. Is it a fighting style anime? I'm guessing.
Yes.
Oh.
Newish as in came out from 2022 onwards.
Oh, 2022 onwards. Oh, I'm stumped.
Chainsaw Man.
Oh, Chainsaw Man. Yeah. I still haven't seen it.
It's good.
Yeah, I heard good things about it. It came out on Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I need to catch that. I've been wanting to watch Frieren. I know, because everyone freaking talks highly about it. I still haven't caught on yet, though.
Mm-hmm. I've just heard really good things about it, so that's why that's after Spy X Family.
You and me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm diversifying. And yeah, I just got, because I caught up on My Hero Academia, and I was I need something else to watch. So
I should just end it on the manga side.
I've been trying to avoid the spoilers, but it's really difficult.
Yeah. All I'll tell you, I don't know if you've already caught up, but the last season of Demon Slayer was doo-doo.
Uh-oh.
Really?
Yeah, they stretched out.
I heard it was all hype.
The ending was, but they stretched out a lot of what the manga had, and they made a whole season out of it. And then and it's almost ending, so I think it's gonna be like two movies or something like that to end mm-hmm. the whole thing or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but yeah, this last season was not up to par to the previous ones.
Fair enough. Nothing playing. I just technically started The First Descendant, but that was like half an hour ago, so that doesn't count in my book. And yeah, it's August. There's nothing. I think there's Wulong. There's Wukong coming out. Is it 20th of August?
Yeah, 20th. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and what? And Space Marine 2 is September something. So, yeah, nothing really to play at the moment. So, yeah. Watching stuff.
Right, Manny, have you been playing anything lately?
I'm on the final journey of Hi-Fi Rush Platinum. I have to just play the game one more time on Rhythm Master mode, and I'll have the Platinum. It's a pretty game has a pretty difficult problem, 100%. So I'm really more or less trying to clear the dance floor before Wukong. I didn't go back to Stellar Blade because I was like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to continue finishing the other game that I wanted to finish. And I'll probably by the time I actually do get to Stellar Blade, they'll have all of their upgrades and things, because they keep releasing like all kinds of new, updates to it and all kinds of really cool stuff. Next one most definitely is going to be Wukong. So clearing the dance floor.
Nice. Rich, are you allowed to say what you've been playing lately?
That is quite an interesting question, Tony. Yes, I can say a few things. So let me start by saying this is going to be a controversial answer first. Uh-oh. Because I know people will be surprised to hear this. No, Carlos. I have not been playing a certain game coming out later this month on PlayStation that I have said that you and Chris are going to be playing. I'm going to save that game specifically for you two to play.
You're not going to play with me and Chris?
I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen, but hey, we'll see what happens. But no, I actually, for the last few weeks, I was playing Marvel Rivals because this is a game that, I mentioned earlier that Gary actually is working on some content coverage for this. So stay tuned for that. But I've been playing the game, been talking with him about the game. And I have to say, if you give me this game and you give me Concord, I will play this game 1,000 times over. Because this game, there's a lot happening in the game. All right. Yes, it is like Overwatch. Some of the characters are overpowered. And I think it's so hilarious how every time I went online to do a matchup, I can already tell who were the people that everybody was going to choose to play as the most because of certain powers they have, which are clearly more powerful than everybody else. So Punisher, that Punisher character has an OP gun. Magneto is an OP character in that game. Spider-Man, yeah, pretty worthless. let me see. Incredible Hulk, because they have a Bruce Banner character that turns into Incredible Hulk. That character is also pretty OP with the gun that he has. So I will say the concept of the game, I think it's a pretty okay concept. Design-wise, I like how they design the characters. The art style, I do like how they design some of them characters. But the way that they set up that beta that they had, I feel like that was not really, if that's an indicator of how the final game is going to be, I think they got a lot of work to do. It's just a couple of matchups, two different type of matchups you were able to play. But it felt like as you progressed and leveled up, you wasn't really able to see anything else. You didn't really unlock any other characters. They had the ability to buy cosmetics for the certain characters you already have in the game, but the game is missing a ton of characters, at least in the closed beta. Because while they had Storm in there, I didn't see Wolverine. And there's a lot of characters. I'm like, well, hold on, where are these other people at? And then Spider-Man, you only have Spider-Man. There's no Miles Morales, no other characters from Spider-Man. So that was quite disappointing. But overall, I will say it can be fun, depending on, obviously, the certain situations, what type of stuff you play. I do want to see what else they add to the game. But I do look forward to seeing what Gary has to say, because I've only spoken with him a few times. So I don't know what he had to say. Obviously, he is an Overwatch player, so I would encourage you all to stay tuned for his coverage, because he is going to have a lot more to say from that perspective as to whether or not it's a good game. So stay tuned for that. And the last game I will mention that I have been playing, it is a game that came out in 2021 on PlayStation 5. And guess what? It's finally coming to Xbox. Kena Bridge of Spirits. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that game. Yeah.
Yeah. That game is coming out, I believe, on the 15th. I'm actually doing a review for the game. I can see now why this game was successful for PlayStation. I think it's ridiculous that it took this long for it to finally come to Xbox. But the game is fantastic. I'm enjoying it. So I would encourage everybody to stay tuned for that review as well. That'll be posted sometime next week. But yeah, I've been playing that game. I've been enjoying that a lot. So stay in tune, because obviously there's a lot of stuff coming out towards the end of August and the beginning of September. So yeah, we're going to be very busy here soon with a lot of the games. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I just had to do a double check here. And it's true. I went over to PCMag.com, and sure enough, I did indeed preview the game.
Ah.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. I didn't get too deep into it. Hence why it was a preview. Anyway, so no, I am not playing. Well, I wasn't playing any games for a while. I took a game break after, Elden Ring. But I can't talk about what I will be playing. NDA people. So stay tuned. The game may or may not have been mentioned during this episode, but that's all I'm going to say about that. Stay tuned, you know? All right, that's going to do it for us here. Rich, what else is going on with the Coalition this week?
Well, as I mentioned, August is going to be a pretty busy month. I know today I got flooded with a ton of emails, and obviously there's a couple of things I can't talk about. I'll be sure, of course, I will let everybody know in the future what I'm talking about, but I'll just say this. There's a lot of content coming to the Coalition later this month. If you know certain stuff that's going to be coming out. And then, of course, I am also going to be at PAX West. So if my boy, Mr. Fergus Mills, is watching this, we definitely need to link up when I come down there later this month. But yeah, there's a lot of things dropping. So I would say stay tuned. And one other plug to put in here. I Am Negan is returning in September. Yeah, our boy Adam Vale sent a message to remind us. Yeah, so we have the Daryl Dixon show returning in September. Oh, yes, yes. That's returning in September, so stay tuned. We will be talking about that in more detail once we get closer to that date. I don't know the actual date of when it's returning. I just know that Carlos is very excited for the show to return. The Daryl Dixon show, that's his favorite character on The Walking Dead. He doesn't like Rick Grimes anymore after that horrible show with Michonne, so... it is what it is, but stay tuned.
It's all about the double D.
Daryl Dixon, you know.
And Daryl.
Daryl. Oh, man. All right, man. Gaming, you know. Anyway, make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show, that is two words. Throwdown Show, throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and like the video, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when we go live, people. Links to everything down below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Munjoma.
Later, people.
All right, guys, you already know, man. We will be back on Sunday. Later.
Peace.